Russians' I office in Atlanta. The Russians are coming? Well, not in the immediate future, but Mayor Maynard Jackson said Tuesday the city is exploring the possibility of the Soviet Union's establishing a permanent consulate in Atlanta sometime in the future. Jackson, just back from a 14-day tour of Russia, said he was approached by several Soviet officials who expressed interest in setting up the consulate. The mayor said he was receptive to the idea. I'm interested in having consulates from all over the world, he said. The mayor added that the consulate idea was being pushed by the leaders of the city's Jewish community, who felt that having a Russian consulate would ease the process of obtaining exit visas for Atlanta area Jews' relatives who are trying to leave the Soviet Union. Jackson also said he would like to see more cultural and economic links between Atlanta and the Soviet Union, including air service from Hartsfield International Airport to Russia. We want to be the gateway to the world through our airport, Jackson said. With 260 million people in the Soviet Union and very, very, very good liberalization of their system, there is great potential for cultural and economic exchanges. Currently, the Soviets maintain an embassy in Washington, a consulate in San Francisco, and an office in New York City for the delegation to the United Nations. And now, Israel-Egypt talks begin in October. This comes from Jerusalem. Defense Minister Ezer Weizman will go to Egypt in October to start peace negotiations authorized by the Israeli parliament in an overwhelming ratification of the Camp David Accords, the state radio said Thursday. The announcement came after the Knesset voted 84-19 with 17 abstentions to approve the Camp David Agreement and remove Jewish settlers from Sinai as part of a peace treaty. Happy are we that we reached such a night, Prime Minister Menachem Begin said after the Knesset vote at 3:40 a.m., which is 9:40 p.m. Wednesday, Eastern Daylight Time. The official government radio said Weizman would leave after the solemn fast day of Yom Kippur, October 11, almost 5 years to the day since the outbreak of the 1973 Middle East War. The holiday fell on October 6 that year when Egyptian forces swept across the Suez Canal and Syrians smashed through Israeli lines on the Golan Heights. Weizman's talks with War Minister Mohammed Gumasi will deal with converting the accords to reality by agreeing on new lines for the Israeli army, the radio said. Other topics will include turning over Israeli army bases and airfields, allowing Israeli ships to sail through the Suez Canal, and cooperation with the United States to exchange intelligence information. Weizman left the parliament session for the Golan Heights, where he spent the day observing division strength maneuvers involving land and air units facing the Syrian lines. In other Mideast developments, roving U.S. Ambassador Alfred Atherton arrived in Israel from Jordan. Atherton, who has been seeking to counter the anti-Camp David influence of Syria and other hardliners, will hold talks with Begin and Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan Friday before going to Cairo Saturday. In Kuwait, Syrian President Hafez Assad met with the ruler of oil-rich Kuwait in his drive to muster the support of Arab moderates against the Camp David Accords. Assad met with the Sheikh Jaber al-Ahmad al-Sabah in the wealthy Persian Gulf Sheikhdom following visits to Jordan and Saudi Arabia. All right, beginning with the 11th chapter. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Now, I want to take my time and talk with you just a few minutes. These things I had for Frank to read because they're of great interest. These are of great interest. And they that are interested in the changing times and seasons and the things that are happening, they want to hear about these articles. I'm interested in them, and I know you're interested. Perhaps by now, I would say that most of you already know that the new pope died without me telling you. I'm sure that most all of you already know about it. But it really would be an unusual thing, even to me, to hear about it if I had not already understood what God is doing. So really, it's not unusual to me at all. I think it's just the Lord more or less confirming His word. Amen. In that when Pope Paul died, they more or less said, well, you know, everybody took it as though this is a common thing. It happened. Everybody has to die. And he's been in office a good long while, and it's normal. We put them in, they die. We put in more. But God willing for them to know and to understand that it was far more than that. It was just as if to say, if you understand it so well, now figure out this next move. And I know that the papacy of Rome and the cardinals and the people of that great church, they feel like they understand, you know. They feel like they know exactly what's taking place. And they never seem to get alarmed about things because the Pope is supposed to have all the answers. But I noticed that the paper stated there was at least three, perhaps or more, that made the statement that we don't know what's happening. The cardinals decided that they don't know what's happening. And the church has decided that they don't know what's happening. Some of them made the statement, said God's ways are hard to figure out. Said we don't know what he's doing. Said we can't understand this. And I think maybe the Pope had been in there something like, was it 34 days? Just having been put in while we were over in Virginia. And then all of a sudden we come down here and all of a sudden out he goes. So it's not hard for me to understand at all. I understand very clearly what the Lord is doing. And I thank God because he has been gracious enough to me to allow me to understand. We had made the statement that that was the last pope. The pope that died out just before this one, we said that's the last pope. They can go on with their ritualistics and do whatever they want to, but that's the last go-round. That's the last one. And even this man that they put in, he made the statement that he said, I do not know how to be a pope. So they really didn't have a pope to start with. The last one had gone. And dying out, it more or less confirmed the fact that what we said was true. Now, I see a far greater thing in it than God just confirming the fact that what had happened was the act of God. And that is this pope that just recently had gone in. He, to show that he was the end of the pope, or that the last one, Pope Paul that was the last one, and that this one didn't even count. The one that came in that just recently died, as you know, refused the crown. That is, that meant that was the last pope. Paul was the last pope because this one refused the crown. And the crown, of course, has to do with King of Nations and also has to do with Vicar of Christ. In that he refused it, that meant that it wasn't a carryover of the papal office. And then besides that, with God letting him die as he did, having refused the crown, it is a positive proof now that it is forever finished because the crown has to be bequeathed to somebody. It was bequeathed to the Roman Catholic Church from the paganistic Babylonian palaces back beyond Calvary. We brought it out. We've got it on tape somewhere. We bring it down in history, how it came on down, how they had it, how it was bequeathed over, and how everything changed over to the Catholic Church. And it had been in power all that time, and God has allowed it to be in power. But now we come up to a certain place, and all of a sudden, it's no more. You say, Brother Pike, why do you say that it's no more? I say that it isn't anymore for this reason. He cannot bequeath the crown to anyone because he is dead. Inasmuch as he did not accept the crown when they put him in office, that means that the crown doesn't belong to the office anymore. It's cut out. It's gone. And in that it is gone, that means that there cannot be a successor of the crown as it has been in the past. Now, if a man dies with the crown, then his successor gets the crown. But if the man refuses the crown, then there is no successor to the crown because that stops the crown short of its order. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, which means it can never again be a papacy. It's at an end. All of it's at an end. That means it will never be carried over anymore in that this man is dead. The only hope that they got, and I don't mean this critical, but that is to go pray to purgatory. And that ain't going to do any good. You know, they talk about praying people out of purgatory, which is a paganistic thing. And to try to pray him out of purgatory, I'm afraid, won't do him any good. The crown is gone. God took the crown away from them, just as we stated that he would do, and just as he did do, and with that he ended the days of the Gentile church. Not only did he end the days of the Gentile church, but he also reached up, took the blood off of the mercy seat, as we will say, took the blood from the mercy seat, brought it back down to the Jewish people, and those Jewish people that have been in war and conflict, heartaches and sorrow, all of a sudden a peace treaty comes to Israel, and the blood that was spilled at Calvary from Jesus, who supposedly was the King of the Jews, that represented the death of Israel, all of a sudden that blood returns and picks up Israel in that the life is in the blood, and Israel becomes a great peaceful nation to become the head of the nation for the establishing of the great temple of Solomon. For in Solomon's day, the temple was built back because it was a day of peace. And so then we can see that it is that time that's coming in, and in that, the days of the Gentiles are finished. We sang that song, the Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. So then, we have come to the end of the Gentile age, and God is at last receiving Israel, and they that have been abused, and they that have been mistreated, and they that have spilt their blood, and they that have lost their loved ones, and all of these kind of things, all of a sudden the peace of God is beginning to come to Israel, and all of the turbulence of life and the turmoils and the sorrows and the disappointments of life is headed for the Gentile world. I made the statement a few days ago to some of the brethren. They remember this. I said, Maynard Jackson is going to try to sell us out to communism. You remember that? Does the paper prove exactly the statement that I said? It's exactly that way. He went over there and they entreated him, and so he wants them in Atlanta, Georgia. Whereas it's the same thing that Jimmy Carter did when he hoisted the flag after we said that God would frown on America, in that Jimmy sent his condolences over to the Elvis Presley happening. You remember? The family. I know that everything is at an end. Everything has come to an end. That means that they that have not got in the ship of God don't have a whole lot of chance of getting in. Did you know that? It's a time to run for your life. If you've got any loved ones, you better run for your life. Because that peace treaty that Jimmy is signing over here, they haven't signed it yet. They've already set everything in order up there at Maryland, which is typical of the birth of Christ, Mary the Virgin, typical of the birth of Christ, already set everything in order. That Camp David to bring in the King David. You understand what I'm saying? And they're contemplating signing that over here at Mount Sinai. Whereas if they sign it on Mount Sinai, or inasmuch as it is over Mount Sinai, because the Israelites are having to get out of there, it shows the coming back of Jesus in the typical sense, coming to Mount Sinai. Whereas the Bible doesn't say that Jesus shall come to Mount Sinai, but it teaches that he will return to the Mount of Olivet. So then, if Jimmy Carter, who has been called J.C., or you remember when he came in office, how that they referred to him as Jesus Christ. We said he was a type of the Lord Jesus, and they put his name J.C. and then put a beard on him, called him Jesus Christ. You remember that in the early administration of Jimmy. All right, now, if that is Jesus Christ in the type returning, coming back with peace as the Prince of Peace, he is not coming back to the Mount of Olivet, but he is coming back to Mount Sinai, whereas Mount Sinai has nothing to do with Israel, nor Christ coming to Israel. You understand what I'm saying? It has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus coming to the Jewish people. This whole peace treaty is not in the behalf of Israel. It is in the behalf of the Arab people, in that the Arabs are getting all the benefits out of it, and all Israel is getting is just a rest. That's all. But Israel's having to surrender up her positions so that they can have peace. But they're willing to do it because they're a peace-loving nation. Now, so then it indicates that Jimmy, who is a type of Christ, is coming back to Mount Sinai to the bonds child, which means the Antichrist. Coming to the bonds child, in that civilization comes out of Egypt. Then he is coming to the bonds child, and it has nothing to do with the Prince of Peace, which will come later on Mount Olivet
to Israel. You say, but Brother Pike, this peace treaty will give Israel the peace that they're looking for. It definitely will not give Israel the peace that she's looking for. As a matter of fact, all it will do will bring the three spirits that I spoke of, that Revelation speaks of, the unclean spirits, that will gather together all of the armies for the battle of Armageddon, which will cause all nations to come against Israel. And then the Prince of Peace himself, Christ, will return to the Mount of Olives in the behalf of Israel. So then it signifies Antichrist coming together, the bonds child, that they may come against the Israelian people. How do you understand what I'm saying? All right, so then we see this thing coming together, and we know that the end of the world is here. Everything is shaping up to show us that the end of the world is here. And if the crown is moved from the papacy, it means that he is no longer the vicar of Christ. There is no more the vicar of Christ in the earth. You know, they feel that they are the descendants, that is, their major leader to begin with was the descendant of Peter, and that inasmuch as Jesus, when Jesus went away, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, they accept the fact that the descendant was one of their relatives, and from that they became the ones that was entitled to the keys, or the successor of the crown of the kingdom. Now, they have followed that all the way down through these years, and God has allowed it. But now it's all at an end. Just as quick as that Pope went and made the statement that Israel was not guilty of the blood of Jesus, but they being guilty of the blood of Jesus, the charge of being guilty of the blood of Jesus, just as quick as they did, God began to bring peace to Israel. God began to lift the weight off of Israel. God began to take the whip away from Israel. And now, beloved friend, whether you can accept it or not, the whip and the wrath of God is turned toward the Gentile people. The battle of Armageddon is just getting ready to form, and the tribulation is getting ready now to come in. That peace summit over yonder will be an initiation toward the coming in of that great tribulation. Now, it's like a little article that I read in the paper today. Somebody brought me an article. They spoke of the atomic Armageddon. That is, at this time, the battle of Armageddon, as we would say, through atomic power. That's the heading they had to it. They said, if Russia begins an atomic war, a nuclear war. Now, we've been talking about the atoms and all these things, the power of the atoms, to show you how powerful and how destructive these things are. They say that if Russia attacks America, that 100 million people will be killed at one time. And I believe they said 35 million will be hospitalized. That wouldn't leave very many people, would it? What is it, about 200 million? Or Russia about 260 million or something, is it? You understand what I'm saying? Just one attack would end America. She'd be defeated. And they made a statement, said nobody is prepared for that. Now, you know, I spoke about a one-ton nuclear bomb being equal to 10 million tons of TNT. Just one of them, 10 bombs, 100 million tons of TNT. See how powerful it is? Just one attack. That's all it's got to be. Just one attack, and America is completely swallowed up. She's completely swallowed up. The end of all flesh is at hand. The Bible said if God does not shorten the days for the elect's sake, that there wouldn't be any flesh spared. There wouldn't be anybody left. Unless God does something in the way of the power of preservation to preserve us from those powers of evil that's coming upon the world, then there would be no flesh spared. That's why so often you hear me make the statement, the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on this earth. See, things are coming on this earth. We love to feel that nothing is going to happen in this world. Isn't that right? We love to have that feeling that nothing's going to happen to us. You know, nothing's going to happen in this world. That we're all Christians, like the Pope made the statement. He said he was seeking peace for all men. He said, all of you are the sons of God. That's not true. How do you know that's not true? He said, all men are the sons of God. That's a lie. All men are not sons of God. God didn't tell him to say that. He wasn't inspired of God to say that. All men are not sons of God. To the contrary, the Bible says there are some men that are brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. Said they're ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're going after their own way, their own will. And he went farther to say, I will destroy them that destroy the earth. So then when God tells us to pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth, that indicates that many people are not going to be able to escape it. You say, but Brother Pike, if the bombs fall from heaven, how in the world are we going to escape it? That's where the rapture comes in. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to make the rapture, the translation of the church, just before the bombs and all of these things begin to fall on the earth, that you may be accounted worthy. That's why that I drive from up here all the time speaking to you. I say get rid of every ugly thought, every resentment, every lust, every covetousness, all the desire for money and power and prestige and good names and everything else. Just follow God and let God add all those things unto you that you need. Whatever you need that is good. All the rest of it, get rid of it. God will give you all the good. Get rid of all the bad. Don't follow after nothing but Christ and everything will be all right. But as long as you follow after the things of this world, then you are sinful people. As long as you follow after money and clothes and houses and lands and prestige and education, you are a sinful people. How do you know that? The Bible said to the concerning the Jews, speaking to the Jews, concerning the Gentiles, said all of the Gentiles follow after the things of the world. All of these things do the Gentiles follow after. So then the Bible tells us not to take any thought for those things, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear, but that we should meditate in the laws of God day and night, that we should bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that every plan, every motive, every endeavor that we have, it ought to be for Jesus and for the things of God, that we don't have any time to think on anything else, that it's no time to plant vineyards and to build houses. It's a time to commit ourselves to God and whatever there is to do for Christ in world evangelism and winning souls and building the house of God. That's what we're supposed to do. All right. Brother Pike, that's a little bit strong. You take the spoon out of my mouth. No. God said, the scripture here speaking, saying, God knoweth that ye have need of all of these things before you ever ask him. Now somebody would say, well, I've got to ask God for it. The Bible said that God knoweth that you have need of all of these things before you ever ask for these things. And that ye should seek the kingdom of God and not seek these things. You shouldn't seek the welfare of the body. But you should seek the kingdom of God and all of these things concerning the welfare of the body, God will provide for you. Well, as he used the terms, consider the lily of the field. The lily doesn't spin. The little bird, he doesn't sow. He doesn't gather in the barns. But yet Solomon wasn't arrayed like the lily. The little bird is fed with a regularity, but he doesn't have any crop to harvest. But see, the Gentile people, the mind that the Gentile people have, it's always, when can I get a new suit? When can I get a new dress? What kind of educational system can I find to give my children that which they need in the way of education? What kind of home can I afford, whether a little one or a great one? How much land can I buy? How much food should I have? All of these things, see, God doesn't want us with our minds cluttered up with all of those things. It isn't my problem to provide food for me. It's not my responsibility to provide me and my family food. God made me to love him, to worship him. God's responsibility is to provide for me food. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Oh, somebody said, I don't see it like that, Brother Pike. It's because you've not read your Bible. According to the Bible, it is God's responsibility to feed me. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe that God intended for you to get your job, go to work, and make you a living. Well, why didn't he put a factory or something for Adam to get a job in, go to work, and make a living? Why didn't he put a sewing machine somewhere so Eve could help make the living? See, you're wrong altogether. God put a beautiful garden and he wanted them to enjoy the garden. All he asked them to do was dress the garden. Isn't that right? That's the way God wants it. God wants us to love one another, to live right, to share with one another. And God will abundantly bless our fields and bless everything that we do. We're going to do something with our hands. I love to build and saw and nail and do things with my hands. Man's going to utilize his ability, his energy, his understanding. But we could be doing it for the glory of God, and then God in return would bestow the benefits upon us in a great way. You say, well, I don't see where the Bible teaches that. Now, but look at it like this. God said, Noah, build me an ark. Isn't that right? He didn't say, Noah, build you an ark, did he? He said, build me an ark.
Praise God.
See, I want an ark. But God bestowed the benefits of security and protection upon Noah.
Amen.
Somebody would say, but Noah built himself an ark. What did Noah need with an ark? It wasn't raining. Noah didn't need no ark. I mean, what did Noah need with an ark? Somebody said, well, he built it for himself. You mean Noah built that ark for himself to get all the bears and the sheep and the cows and the elephants? What did Noah need with all of that? I said, well, he would have to have something to eat. Well, he couldn't have eaten an elephant in a lifetime, probably. It was God. God was preserving life in the earth. God was thinking of future generations. God was thinking of Noah's posterity in the earth. God wanted to provide, but God wanted to do something for Noah. Now look at the little widow. When Elijah came over there, did God send Elijah over there so the widow could take care of Elijah? If he did, he sent him to a poor place because she was out of everything and only had just a little meal to make a cake out of and was fixing to eat that, her and her son, and die. God didn't send Elijah over there to get a last cake so she'd starve to death. God didn't send Elijah over there so the widow would take care of him. God sent Elijah over there so that Elijah could take care of the widow. God was going to take care of the widow. God asked for the cake so he could take care of the widow. Isn't that right?
That's right.
God asked us for my feeble ability, my little pile of ingenuity, my little nothing, as we say, like the little boy's lunch, the fishes, few fishes and loaves. God takes my ability that's nothing and multiplies it. Like I spake the other night of the Mazer, when they let these wavelets come into that Mazer, they're weak. But when they get in there and they toss to and fro a little bit, after a while those things amplify themselves, they get stronger, and they come out in their great strength once they come out of there. You follow me?
Amen.
That's what God does for us when we can't help ourselves. God does something for us. When I can't help myself, God helps me. God wanted to take care of the widow because Elijah was already eating real good. The ravens was feeding him every day. He did not have any deficiency of food. So then God wanted to help the widow. When we follow God and when we obey God and we do the things that God commands us to do, brother, our meal barrel doesn't give out. Our crucible oil doesn't run dry. It just gets bigger and greater until we have everything that we want. God saying, I will give thee the desires of thine heart, make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, and you'll have everything that you could want. Everything. God promised all of that. So then, right here at a crucial hour, when we should be taking thought for God so that we could be counted worthy to escape the tribulation and the things that's coming on this world. Right now, at this hour, we've got our mind on everything but God. We're ambitious in every way but for God. And the Bible tells us that the people of the world are wise to do evil, but they are not wise to do good. They're wise. They can build an atom bomb. They can split the atoms. They put plenty of time, devote plenty of effort to the things of the world and being wise to do evil. But they're not wise to do good. They don't apply themselves to the good. They don't take enough time to consider the things that would benefit somebody or help somebody. Like my Cindy said today, talking about some of the movie stars out in the Hollywood. She said, Dad, said, I heard where that one or two of those movie stars will go to a cafe, they will sit down to eat, and they charge them $900 for one meal because they have to keep spectators away and people from bothering them and all kind of things, you know, cameramen, newspaper men away. $900. Cindy said, just think, a little baby over in Africa or India or somewhere needing food, and they spend $900 for a meal. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then we should have our mind on God. Let God meet the need. Pray that God will meet the need. The destruction of the world is at hand. Let God meet the need by using me. Let God meet the need by using you. Let God meet the need by us making a sacrifice. Us being concerned about the loss. All of these atomic particles that I've been speaking about. A lot of you say, well, I don't know nothing about that. I don't care nothing about that. But see, what you don't understand is the destruction of the world is going to be by means of those atomic particles. That's what's going to destroy the world. You say, but Brother Pike, the Bible doesn't speak about atoms. Yes, it does. I beg your pardon. The Bible said the elements being on fire. And that's what it is, the elements. I told you the other night about 105 in all. I named here elements, different elements, that the elements will become combustible. And the atoms, the particles of light inside of the atoms, in your body and in the world, everything, even in the air, will begin to burst and become combustible, turn into a flame of fire. They say the man that dropped the bomb, the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, said that the man lost his mind for a period of time. It was a long time before he could recover. And then when he did recover, he went about giving lectures, telling him to abandon the whole idea. Said because he was the one that gave the command to release it. And said when he looked down, said he saw little bitty children's body burst into flames. Said the atoms in their bodies burst into flames. See, so I talked to you about atomic particles. I'm talking to you about the Bible. I talked to you about the substances of life. I talked to you about the Bible. See, God made those particles. God was the one that made those particles. How I'd love to just even tonight be able to get into just exactly what is going to happen in those atomic particles and what they have to do with. You might not believe it, but those atomic particles have to do with life and death. Things that are taking place such as never has taken place before, right at this hour. Tonight, I had planned to get into some things that I don't feel that I'll get into unless the Lord moves in that direction. I was just feeling out things as I went along here to find out just exactly where we was going and how full the glass was, you know, to see how much we could put in it. But anyway, there's one thing about it. We are at the end of the world. God is trying to cleanse our vessel, drive the unclean spirit out. Get rid of the unclean spirit. Get rid of the thoughts of evil. Get rid of the thoughts that the Gentiles have in seeking after worldly things. Get rid of the spirit of lust. But you say, Brother Pike, when you talk about seeking after food and the good things to drink and milkshake and clothes and enjoying vacations and all of these things, why, you're not talking about the devil. I certainly am. I certainly am. The Bible said Satan savors, desires, or loves the things of the flesh. Isn't that right? When Peter spoke to Jesus and he said, nay, Lord, they're not going to crucify you. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Said, I know that you're concerned about the flesh. Isn't that right? Isn't that the way of the Catholic Church? Isn't that the way it's always been? Isn't that the way of every denominational church? It doesn't have Christ always that way. All the denominational churches are that way. Even the Pentecostals, they've gotten to where all the thing about is prosperity. They want healing and prosperity. They want money. They want finance. They want education. All of that's not God. That's not God to seek after them things. That's Satan. We're supposed to seek after godliness. The Bible said, flee riches and the things of this world, O man of God. Said they that fallen after these things pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many fallen after these things have torn themselves up and wrecked their faith, made faith shipwreck. Isn't that right? But said follow after godliness, patience, peace, meekness, long suffering, all of these things that make for God the hope of glory within you. Notice how cunning Satan is. Over here when Jesus was preaching, Brother Taylor read it to you tonight. While Jesus was preaching, just preaching away. Now notice the cunningness of Satan. Just like when Satan said through Peter, nay, Lord, we're not going to let that fleshly body be hurt. In other words, Satan was saying, nay, Lord, we're not going to let you go to Calvary and die for men's sins so I'll be cast out. That's what Satan was saying. See, nay, Lord. But God said, you can't deceive me, Lucifer. I know what you're doing. See, just like when Jesus was preaching over there, Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And while Jesus was preaching, everybody listened to the gracious words of God. And what happened? Here comes the woman. She says, oh, blessed is the paps that you've sucked in the womb that bear you. See how she wanted to take the people's mind over the word of God? Let's praise Mary. Let's say, blessed is Mary. Holy Mary, count our beads. Isn't that right? Let's forget about the Son of God. Forget about the word of God. Satan said, let us set us up something and worship the woman instead of God. Turning the mind away, wanted to get their mind on the woman that bare Jesus, which was the flesh. That would completely kill everything. That's what the universal church has done. They take it off of Christ and they put it on Mary. Now Mary's a wonderful woman. The Bible said, blessed Mary. She shall be called blessed. But Mary ain't got nothing to do with it. Mary was a woman just like these are women out here. You understand what I'm saying? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Word made flesh, not Mary. Mary wasn't the words of life. It's not that you can have salvation in Mary's name. But the devil wanted to turn it off of the Word and get it on the woman. Isn't that right? Always the same old devil. He wants to get your mind on getting a new automobile and paying on your new automobile, getting your nice new home and paying on your nice new home. And you know what? You do that and the world will pat you on the back. Come on now. I said you get you a nice car and a nice home and they'll say, now there's old Brother Taylor and old Brother Pike and old Brother Mike. That's aggressive people right there. Now them people know what they're doing. They sure do. When they get in that condition, they're feeding their belly. Like I said the other night. Isn't that right? In other words, if we get in that kind of condition or you get into it, it means Lucifer has taken over. And it means you're fouling your belly. Amen. All of your labors for your belly. Because your belly craves it of you. That's what the Bible said. He put the old serpent on his belly. A crooked, perverse generation. That's what it is. All right. So then they'll say you're doing fine. Somebody said, well, I think I'll go to college and get me a college degree. They said, now there's a smart man. Now who said that? Somebody said, well, my daddy and mother said that. No, the devil said that. Lucifer said that. He might have used daddy and mama's voice to say it, but it was Lucifer that done it. Somebody say, Mom, I tell you, I'm just making the dollars and making the dollars. I done got $50,000 in the bank, and I got me a business. I'm making $100,000 a year. She'll say, now, son, you are really something. I'm proud of you. Who said that? Lucifer. Lucifer said that. Amen. He might have used mama, but Lucifer said it. Because Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And the world loveth its own. And when you prosper in the world, then you're going to add something to the world. And they want to be part of it. Like when I come here and I started building all of this and started to put my pennies together, they mocked and mocked and wondered what I was going to do with my 2 cents, as I've said so often. And then when it got to be $2 instead of 2 cents, they started taking notice. The thieves and the robbers started looking on. It wasn't long until it got to be a $50,000 or $100,000 deal, and the principal come out in his shorts to see what was going on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When it got to be about a $500,000 project, it wasn't long before the senior citizens come out and said, we want to have open house. I said, that's fine. You just have to put you on some clothes, that's all. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the banker wanted to be buddies with me. I'm telling you the truth. God knows it's the truth. I got a special letter from the sheriff that wanted to be buddies with me. wanted me to join up in their clubs. But when they found out I was going to stand for God and stand for righteousness and stand for holiness, then they decided, like the early church, they wanted to kill me. So they set out against me, inspectors and everything else. And when they did, I just went to my knees and I began to talk to God. And when God got through killing police and everybody else, then they settled down. Tornadoes and everything else, they settled down and now they're friends. We're all friends. They don't believe like we do, but they're friends. They don't bother us. They leave us alone. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's the trouble. God will take a man like Brother Roberts and some of the others and raise them up in pennies. And then when they get up here in the world of money and get to be millionaires and whatever, they want to play golf and rub elbows with the big man. Like I said here a while back, when I spoke of those ministers being over, the death of Brother Allen, and spoke of the different things that would happen, Armstrong's ministry being over, and Billy Graham's ministry being over, and Oral Roberts' ministry being over, and I made the statement to try to make a comeback. They've done it, but look at the sorrow that's come, the heartaches that's come, the trouble that's come, a hee-haw show. Look at Billy Graham, it just went over into Sweden. I thank God we didn't receive that kind of reception. We might get it next time. But went over into Sweden, over there, they opened their arms to us and come out to hear us preach. Still got people that love us over there. And Billy went over there and they throwed pies at him. Throwed everything they could get a hold of just about at him. Norway it was. Same place, Norway. Yeah, it said Sweden too. Yeah. So then, they, right over in Stockholm, they throwed pies and all these things, mistreated him in every way. Of course, he took it in a good outlook, you know. But I mean, what can you do if a fellow throws a pie in your face? You either got to lick or get it out one. So, he took it in a good attitude according to the paper. I'm sure he didn't appreciate it. But I said that to say this. Ever since we said his ministry was over, he's had nothing but trouble. The papers have turned on him. The people have turned on him. Everybody's questioned his financial budget. Even there in Sweden, they made a statement. When they were speaking about him, over there, they said, you peddle religion like you're selling a car. People are tired of peddle religion. Come on, folks. I had a vision the other night. It ain't been but 3 or 4 nights ago. And I was down on my knees praying and down there somewhere. And I looked at one of our men here that says he's got the call in the ministry. It's not pleased, not satisfied. And I looked at him and he come up to my door and he was peddling. And he had his fruits in the basket peddling. And he had his sons peddling with him. Somebody say, I love Jesus. They said, Billy, you peddle religion like a car salesman. Folks are tired of that. How do you know I made a statement not too long ago? I said when Moses come down off of that mountain, they had played around with the golden calf and played around with Aaron so much that God had got upset and he took all of their gold and their silver and all the riches that they trusted in and their powers, ground it up into powder, took them down to the brook and made them drink it, and it was bitter. I said someday God's going to grind up those things and make those evangelists face it, and it's going to be bitter when they go to face it. They're going to have to swallow it down. Brother, he's doing it. They have to swallow it down. It's a bitter pill. But see, they've robbed the people. They've took their money and give them nothing in return. It's like Brother Branham, I believe this was a statement he made. Said some of them got 40 Cadillacs and nothing to go along with it. I don't know how many they got. I guess that was his expression. But you know, that just about clarifies the picture. They're more interested in personal and ambition and worldly gain than they are in lost humanity. And they'll go to college and spend 10 years in college trying to split hairs over a theological thought when the whole thing ain't nothing to begin with. You know, like science. I tell you what, it's unbelievable. In 1914, this one's got a theory. In 1915, this one unproved his theory wrong. In 1916, somebody else has got a better theory. In 1917, his theory is wrong.
That's some more science, ain't it? That's why Paul said science falsely so called. This is the Word of God. This is the only true knowledge of God right here, folks. This will last. This will stand when the world's on fire right here. Right here. This right here will do the job. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? It'll do the job. I want you to stand with me. I want you to trust in the Word of God and believe in the Word of God. If God brings any true knowledge forth, the saints of God will get it. It won't be taken away from them. They'll get it. For anything good, they'll get it. The Bible says the wicked will not see when good cometh. They'll ever be in science, learning, never able to come to God's truth knowledge or the knowledge of the truth. They'll learn anything but the Bible. Did you know that? They'll try to prove that you come from monkeys or tadpoles or you come from chlorophyll or whatever. But they'll never try to say anything about Jesus. That knowledge of truth, the devils don't want that. You know why? That science can't use that? It casts out devils. Devils can't use that. They can use the metric system. They can use most anything, but they can't use God's word. The knowledge of the truth, they don't mess with that. Maybe Sunday night, if the Lord is kind to us or if he's willing, maybe we can say something that might be enlightening concerning some dimensional depths that we're walking in or where we're at right now. Well, there certainly is some things that's taking place that's so beautiful. Many lovely things in this present hour is taking place. One thing we need to be aware of, when they cry peace, sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. Everything is centered around Atlanta. How many remember us saying that would happen? How many remember I said it would have to do with the black man? How many remember that? At that time, I don't think they even had a black mayor. I know they didn't. But you see how things has changed around. Everything is whirling around, moving into its place for destruction, moving right on in. Now listen, folks, and I say this to you and to them that can hear my voice or whoever, because everywhere people hear and see. But remember this one thing, you can listen to PhDs and doctors of divinity, and you can let them get you into a mess and into a whirlpool of ever-learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth and listen to them as they, in their churches, through their pastoral efforts to get your money. You can listen to them soothe you and tell you you're all right. You don't have to make a change. They'll tell you that it don't have anything to do with your dressing. It don't have to do anything with your money. It don't have to do with your knowledge. It don't have to do with your feelings. It don't have to do with anything except your faith. But I tell you again, as I've told you before, just being a believer will not bring you salvation. Believing makes you a candidate for salvation if it's the right kind of believing. But being a believer does not mean that you are a Christian. The Bible said that we must be filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ. And if we have not His Spirit, we are none of His. I don't care what we believe. That's why God's got them throwing pies at Billy. I said, wait a minute, God didn't tell him to throw pies at Billy. God is letting Billy know exactly what he thinks of him and all his doings. Going out with movie stars and frolics and everything else. Going across the world and making proselytes. God's letting him know just exactly how he feels. Right in Billy's old age when he thought he was going to retire and come up and just talked about how he's just going to move over from this world, go over to heaven and sit down and rest a while and start all over on a new job God had for him. God's letting him know about the new job and how he feels. You understand what I'm saying? That's what God thinks about some of these people and the way that they're doing. They're doing these awful things and going out proselyting and I tell you, it's something. He just made the statement that they just got to have money. Got to have money. They're going under. Got to have money. Why are they going under? They never have before. Why? Why is it that the PTL started under? They wasn't going under before. But we made the statement that because of the way that they've done in rejecting the truth, and lifting up the evil things they did on their telecast. that God would take the thing down, and he's doing it. He's doing it. Just like Armstrong, we predicted he would come down. People didn't understand that he was drinking, taking up time with lewd women, and all kind of things. Even his daddy didn't realize some of the things he was doing. But God tore it down. But you could tell by his haughty attitude when he talked to the people on the radio. His overconfident attitude, something wasn't right. It's like A.A. Allen when he came to Atlanta, Georgia, and I made a statement. I said, something's wrong there. I said, and someday they'll find it out. Just before we left Mississippi, we predicted his death and said his death is nigh at hand. And as quick as we come over here, they come to us and told us he was dead. And then when the papers carried it, they said they found him drinking, an infiltration of the liver. You love Jesus?
Amen.
Don't you want to be holy?
Amen.
Don't you want to be pure?
Right.
The Bible said in that days the trees of God will be few. Be few. Won't be the great multitudes. Few there be that find it. Fear not, little flock. I say this again. Everybody in the world don't become a man's wife. All the women. He just picks out one out of all of them. That's kind of a small sort of a thing, isn't it? Compared to all the women. Jesus is picking himself out a bride. But all of them ain't sons of God. All of them are not sons of God. Straight as the gate. That means tight, like a straight jacket. Straight as the gate. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. All right, we're thankful for you to be here tonight. Appreciate so very much you being here with us. And I hope that from time to time, as we say things to you, that you'll be able to get something out of it. I know that some of you are not going to heaven. I realize that. You're not going. But some of you are going to heaven. I've got people right here, according to what I understand of God, is going to go to heaven. But I also got some here, unless the Lord does something, they're going to die and go to hell. I know that. And I know that the sons of Satan and the daughters of Satan are among us. The Bible says when the sons of God come to present themselves, that old carnal mind of reasoning and worldliness, that old satanic force comes too. He comes to see what's going on. But nevertheless, the sons of God are here and the daughters of God are here. And they're candidates for the glory world. After a while, it'll all be over.